This is Real Talk, the Customer Insights Show with Jen Vogel, a top-rated live stream and podcast in the market research and insights industry. We stream live on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can listen on all major podcast channels. Join Jen and her guests for a weekly discussion around topics that will help you understand your customers better. Real Talk is presented to you by Vox PopMe, the leader in video research and ranked number one in qualitative research by Grit 2 years running. Here's today's conversation.
Hello, insights professionals, marketers, and everyone who wants to understand their customers better. I'm your host, Jen Vogel. You've heard some of our guests before that, you know, they just kind of fell into market research roles. I mean, we talk about that all the time. I love asking researchers kind of where they came from, you know, what their educational path was kind of before getting into insights. And today we actually have the exciting opportunity to talk about the educational road to research, find out how college students are getting ready to work in insights, how you know, students in other majors are getting exposed to insights. So I'm really excited to dive in to discuss the topic. I'm joined by Jacob Heiler, director of the Center of Consumer Research and Analytics at Ohio University. Welcome to the show, Jacob.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We're really excited too. This is such a fun topic to kind of, you know, we're always talking in the industry about the skills that researchers need to be learning in school and, you know, different programs. And again, like always hearing people like, oh, I was a psychology major and I landed in insights or, you know, something else. So yeah, really excited to talk a little bit about your program at Ohio University and dig in a little bit deeper on that.
Yeah, great. I mean, the Ohio University Center for Consumer Research and Analytics, or CRA, it used to be called the Consumer Research Center, which is a name that rolled much more nicely off the tongue. But we've merged in analytics as part of our center as well, because we think that that's kind of the future and the direction in which the industry is going in terms of combining both of these paths into one unified front instead of two separate kind of competing fronts, there where it's kind of positioned in a lot of different organizations today. But yeah, we're all about experiential learning, and I'm happy to answer any questions and talk about our center in any way that I can.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to dive in. And before we talk about the center and some of those experiential kind of learning opportunities, let's hear a little bit about you and your path and your career.
So I have been at Ohio University for, this will be starting my seventh, eighth year now. I've been here since 2015. My path in consumer research, so I'm not just an academic, I worked in the consumer research field before pursuing a PhD and going into academia. I kind of fell into it too, probably like many of your previous guests. So when I got to college, I had the plan that I wanted to be an attorney. That was my goal. I did mock trial in high school. Funny enough, my high school, John Adams High School in South Bend, Indiana, when you drive into town and they have those little symbols on, you know, the crest when you drive into town, it says this high school football state champs these years, basketball state champs this year. Mine's John Adams says mock trial state and national champs. And we have 20, 30 state championships at this point. And I think one national championships or two national championships at this point. So that's why I wanted to become an attorney, because I enjoyed litigation. I enjoyed talking to people. I enjoyed that whole process. Got into college, joined a program called Philosophy, Politics, and the Public at Xavier University over in Cincinnati, and really quickly found that, you know, that wasn't the right program for me. They didn't have a pre-law program. I wasn't really sure I wanted to be a lawyer anymore, because I primarily wanted to go into prosecution, and that just wasn't something, a lifestyle that I really wanted for myself long term. So I joined the business school, went into the technology side of things back when it was called information technology or IT. Now we've got all kinds of different acronyms for it. And realized I couldn't code very quickly. I took a networking class, which I don't even think they teach those anymore, but networking was much more complicated back then. Didn't get too good of a grade in there. Realized I couldn't code and decided to pursue something else. And I said, hey, I like marketing. I like shopping. I like I shop, I browse things. I'm one of those weird people that likes going into stores and just, you know, looks at different things and looks at how prices affect different things. I was curious about all that naturally. And so I just kind of decided I wanted to go into marketing, and I wasn't really quite sure what I wanted to do there. I knew that I wanted to work in that space. I thought maybe being an ad, you know, working in an ad agency or working in branding would be the right position for me, but quickly became kind of enamored with the research side of things, thanks to a couple professors there, Bob Ahuja and Chris Manolis, were two of the professors there that really got me thinking about research in a different way. And Chris got me my internship at Parker Marketing Research at the time. It eventually rebranded to Parker Insights. It's since been bought by Research America, but got my internship there, which turned into a full-time job. Didn't expect to love research as much as I did, but the very first project that I started on there was a project for Campbell's Soup. And I remember after like getting onboarded, and they gave me for some reason a stapler and some tape and some other things at my desk and everything, took me out to lunch, came back to lunch, and they said, "Hey, can you write a top line report for Campbell's?" And I said, two questions: Campbell's, like the soup company Campbell's, and what's a top line report? You know, this is a story I tell all of my students the first day, is I felt like I was a fish out of water. I had no idea what I was doing. And they said, yes, Campbell's like the soup company, and here's what a top line report is. You're just going to watch focus groups and jot down notes and put together a report that summarizes the themes and everything that came from all those focus groups. And I said, okay, I can do that. That sounds fun. And so did that, kind of fell in love with that, then ended up working there for various different companies like Disney, Coke, Pepperidge, Hilton, Merck, all kinds of different companies while I was there, and got to travel and see the country and really just kind of fell in love with listening to consumers and hearing their stories and using that information to, you know, help brands create better products, better advertisements, all kinds of different things. And I was very much considering, even in undergrad when I was 20 years old, going into academia, because I had a lot of great mentors like Chris Manolis, like Bob Ahuja, like Adrian Griffin, who was a mentor of mine in high school and throughout my life until he passed away. And I remember talking with Mary Walker, who was a professor there, and I believe I was taking integrated marketing communications from her. And I gave a presentation in the class, and she had kind of said, "Hey, you know, you can do this." I said, "What do you mean marketing? I hope so, because I'm going to get a job in it." She said, no, you could be a professor someday. And I think that was the first time the bug had kind of been planted in my mind that, you know, maybe going into academia would be a career path for me. So I was kind of wrestling with these two forces. I was thinking about, you know, staying in market research versus kind of pursuing my dream of getting a PhD and becoming a professor. And it was a really difficult choice. I was applying, you know, while I was working and getting an MBA, I was applying to PhD programs. Eventually got into one at LSU, Louisiana State University. And I had to make the gut-wrenching call to decide to leave a career that I really, really loved. And so I went down there. It was very difficult because I even told my boss, people are telling me, don't give more than 2 weeks notice. They'll fire you. And I felt bad. So I gave like 4 months notice. And thankfully, they let me stay on board the whole time, because I was working on a CRM system at the time. And I wanted to finish that before I left. So thankfully, Mike Brinsonhoff, who was the owner and president at the time, was nice enough to let me stay. And I was always grateful for that, too. And so I got my PhD, you know, thought maybe my practical marketing research days were behind me, because, as I'm sure you're aware, academic research is very, very different from the practical marketing research that we do, which is honestly what I love a bit more. And when I got to the interview phase of interviewing at different PhD programs, one of the things that really attracted me to Ohio University was they had literally just started this program. Dan Dahlin, Katie Hartman, and Raj Agnihotri, who was the department chair at the time, had were kicking around this idea of starting this program, and they had just kind of, you know, piloted it for one semester called the Consumer Research Center. And I was like, what's that like? Like, tell me what your plans and what your hopes and dreams are for it. And Dan, who was the founding director of the center, basically was like, hey, we want to run this like a research agency. And I was like, that's awesome. Cause that's, I would love to do that again. And so, I joined the second semester of operation of the CRA in fall 2015. And kind of the rest is history. The way I like to tell it to people is like, I got both my jobs. I got my dream job of being a professor, and I got the old job that I didn't know I was going to fall in love with back. And now I get to just teach students how to do consumer research in a practical manner, and really essentially, you know, working with Dan and then myself, and then now new people have come on board, Adam Hepworth, Jessica Weeks, and other Liz Wanless and others have come into leadership positions. Now we have a thriving center of 50 plus fellows every semester. We have 9 faculty currently. We're doing roughly 20 projects a year, and it's come a long way from six, seven years ago when we first started and we were only doing 2 projects a semester and only had like 10 fellows. So yeah, it's come a really long way, and it's been exciting to be a part of that and build that out.
That's awesome. It's great to kind of see the things come together. It's like a movie where kind of everything comes full circle in the end.
In a weird way. And it doesn't happen for everybody, but it did for me. And I'm really grateful for it. And, you know, as an academic, as a professor, I mean, my job first and foremost, the way I kind of look at it is, you know, the mission is just to pay it forward, you know, pay forward all the good that everyone, you know, along my journey has done to help me along my path. And so the fact that I afforded the opportunity to do that to the next generation, I couldn't ask for more.
That's awesome. That's really great. And I'm like, we have somebody on our team, our VP of research, who's former Campbell's. I'm dying to know if he read that top line report that you did. So we're going to find out.
We'll talk offline about what project that was.
Exactly. Totally. I bet you will be able to make some sort of connection there.
Probably.
But yeah, you started to mention the fellows and the projects. Tell me a little bit more about how the program is structured and how it actually does operate like an internal agency.
Yeah. So basically the way in which we structure the center is around the model of what Parker Insights was when I worked there. So the whole center is structured around teams of 4 to 5 fellows. Now they used to be 3 to 4. We've bumped that to 4 to 5 to accommodate more fellows. Who are working on a live client research project from the beginning of a semester to the end of a semester. So we operate in the fall and spring. So our fall projects start in August and they conclude in early December. And our spring projects start in January and they conclude in late April, usually. I know that's not a typical time frame for a consumer research project. Usually you're used to that 5-6 week turnaround from ideation to completion. So that's always part of our negotiation phase. But the way that we kind of sell it to our clients is that, you know, hey, our students are not full-time employees. So we need, they need time because they have 5 or 6 other classes and they're volunteering their time to do this. So that's really, you know, what it's structured around is live client project work. Each of those teams, one of the students is a research lead, just like they would be in industry. So those are usually our senior fellows who have been through this a little bit. And their kind of responsibilities are for leading weekly meetings, for making sure their team is up to task, and make sure that they're mentoring the kind of next generations of fellows. Because we really build this whole thing also not just around the projects, but also around this kind of mentorship model too, or this apprenticeship model. So obviously the students learn from all the faculty, but they also learn from each other. And I think it's important to kind of foster that, you know, environment where, you know, it's not just me or one of the other faculty advisors who are, you know, mentoring the students, but it's the students who came before them and the students who are currently leading their team so that they can prepare them for the leadership roles next. So that's the way that we structure the main bits of work in the center. We basically take a consultative research approach with all of our clients. So and this very much comes from my Parker days as well. We really want to understand what the client has, what types of issues that they have, what types of questions that they have, what objectives they have first before we start prescribing methodologies. Because we think it's, you know, there's so many programs in college that kind of just, you know, students take a market research class and are kind of just thrown in there and they're told, you know, do some interviews or some focus groups and do some surveys. And that's what you do for all research projects. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So, you know, whether, you know, and we would like to involve our students in part, and part of that process too is, you know, asking our students, like, these are their research objectives and questions. What do you think the best methodologies to address all these are? So they're involved from that ideation, from that methodological development standpoint, from the early days of the project. And then once we get approval from the clients, we go through and we develop the actual tools, the discussion guides, surveys, whatever other methodologies that we might be using. Maybe we're using observational techniques. Maybe we're using, you know, various different forms of netnographic techniques, different types of things. One of the things we're trying to bridge into now is also incorporating some analytics into some of those consumer research, more consumer research focused projects as well. So we try to help our students kind of understand that all these things are different tools in a tool shed, and we want them to be able to apply the right ones to the right project. So then we go through the process, we get approval from our clients. Typically we like our clients to interact with our students a few times during the course of the semester, or if they want to interact more, they're more than welcome to. And then we turn our students loose and they basically collect the data. Then we teach them to analyze the data, and then put together a report that would be in line with what typically we would say industry standard reports that our clients would receive, and then prepare a presentation and present to our clients at the end of the day. We typically, you know, before the pandemic, we'd like to give our students the opportunity to drive to, you know, some of our clients' corporate headquarters. So we would present at Chase quite a bit. We drove up to Battle Creek, Michigan once and presented up at Kellogg's. We like to give our students that opportunity if possible, but, you know, since the pandemic's happened, we've been doing a lot of virtual presentations. But, you know, the way I like to sell it to students is it's like having an internship, except better, because interns don't typically get to present to high level executives, brand managers, in some cases, CEOs and chair people of the board. And we give our students that opportunity to actually make a real difference, a real impact on a client. And I think that that's special and unique in this space, because what better way to learn how to do consumer research than to do it for yourself?
That's such a unique approach to the, I mean, you said it right from the beginning of this conversation, experiential learning opportunity. Like, it really is that. It's, here's a real life example. It's not a case study. It's not a hypothetical scenario.
It's real work.
Real work. And you actually get to see from start to finish kind of every step along the way, which is really interesting. And you mentioned, you know, I mean, that it's not a typical timeline to run some of these projects for the course of a semester. What are some examples of, you know, an ideal research project or research objective that works really well for this kind of scenario?
So I think because we try to, you know, employ as many different tools as we possibly can, we've done physiological research with eye tracking and facial expression analysis. That's a bit more niche. We've obviously used Vox PopMe more recently with one of our clients, Culver's. We teach traditional QualiQuant methods. We teach, you know, combination QualiQuant. We even teach, one of my areas of expertise is in videography. So, you know, we teach students to potentially do, you know, filming work like man on the street interviews and filming interviews and editing that all together for a video report instead of a graphic report. All kinds of different things. So, you know, as far as ideal projects go, I don't know if we have an ideal project necessarily. I think just the client's understanding that, you know, our students aren't full-time employees and that they're going to use up that 16 weeks to put together that report, because we only have them for a few hours a week. But, you know, we've done work in positioning. We've done work in ad testing and promotion testing. We've done work Like I mentioned, with physiological, with shelf space and planograms, we've done menu board testing, product ideation, all kinds of different things. I would say positioning work is usually one of the ones that we get the most, because our biggest advantage, and which was a surprise to me, it's not so much anymore, but it was a surprise to me when I first started here, was, you know, how are we going to get, you know, how are we going to get clients to want to work with us when we have a predominantly student only sample? And my thought was that was going to be a big drawback. And it actually wasn't, because, you know, we never really did any research at Parker with college students specifically. And now I know for good reason, because they're notoriously difficult to get a hold of. So, you know, we were doing mostly primary grocery shoppers, specific, you know, consumers of various different pharmaceuticals or other things like that, that we would target and try to shoot for. But it's actually turned out to be a major advantage for us to be able to offer, you know, a college student sample and be able to look into that market and understand what they're thinking about and feeling about different products and services. So, you know, that's why I think we get a lot of positioning work, because there's not a lot of research being done in that space on college students specifically. Mm-hmm. So they have to have a starting place. And I think the more that a client works with us, so, you know, clients like Chase have worked with us for 12 semesters in a row now. Clients like Culver's are, I think, going on their fourth or fifth semester with us. You know, the more a client works with us, the more we can get into those more specific promotional, you know, types of research projects, ideation projects, rather than these positional studies. But, you know, it usually starts there. But I wouldn't say that's ideal. It's just what happens.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, given the scenario, right? Then any advantages, disadvantages, whatever, that makes sense to me that it would come out that way. I think it's such a unique differentiator that you have that access to the sample, and the ability to get, maybe it's a tough to reach group for those clients that you are working with. And I think, I mean, on that note, like let's talk a little bit more about the importance of working with actual brands. I mean, just like we were saying, like, this is a real project. Like, what do your, you refer to them as your clients, the advantage of working directly with them?
I think that, you know, for the students, the big thing is that their work has impact. It has meaning. It's so easy, because, I mean, I think about my research project when I took market research in college, which I loved my class, but I do things quite a bit differently than how that class was. And it was just, you know, here's four stages of research: your intro, background research, and methodological design, quantitative, qualitative, report. And that was basically how the course was structured. And we were just given this hypothetical topic on buzz marketing, which was very new at the time. These were in the early days of buzz marketing, where P&G was kind of the company that was, you know, brainstorming a lot of these different things, giving people products to trial them with their friends and then take notes on what they said about it and stuff like that. And so that was our research project. It wasn't for P&G. It wasn't for any specific company. It was actually for our professor to, you know, potentially use some of that data to publish. And, you know, while that has some impact, it kind of felt hollow for me back then. And so from a student perspective, I think it's really important for them to see the impact of their work, to have their work, have what they're volunteering their time doing be actually meaningful. And, you know, I've told them, you know, I'm sure you're aware too, that, you know, sometimes you don't get to see the results of your research project until 6 months, a year, 3 years down the road. You don't get to see that product come to life or anything like that, but it will eventually. And you kind of forget about it. And it's always like a Christmas present when you're walking through the grocery store, and then all of a sudden you see a product like, oh, we had a hand in that. You know, I remember a couple years back, I can't say which product specifically, but there I saw a product on the shelves. I'm like, that came directly from our research. And I messaged a few of the students who had graduated to let them know, and we all got a good kick out of it. So it was, you know, it's really nice to say that you have that type of impact. And for the student too, you know, when they go out and interview on the job market, I think it adds a level of differentiation too, because you're not just doing hypothetical, internally controlled experiments that are just going to be published, you're doing work for a client, which has challenges. You know, there are ups and downs with working with clients. Some clients are very amenable and everything's great. Some clients are a lot more picky and a lot more difficult to work with. Some clients want to be able to call your students and you have to kind of, you know, put the brakes on that because they're not their employees and things like that. But you know, all these different things. I had one client that said, like, we want to call your students whenever we want them. And I'm like, that's not happening. But, you know, there's all these challenges, right? Sometimes a client changes their mind on something at the last minute. Sometimes the client doesn't like how you frame a finding specifically. There's all these little things that I think are just so important for those students to be able to learn how to work within and navigate within, because, you know, it's not about just the research itself. It's about how you communicate that research to people and how you maximize the impact of that research and help your client that you're working with also be able to maximize the impact of that research with their internal team too. And I think that, you know, working with live clients, that gives those students all those opportunities. Sure, it can be frustrating, but, you know, we think it's worth it, because at the end of the day, our CRA fellows, who are students who do this every semester that they join. So, you know, typically a student joins us around their beginning of their junior year, though we've taken people as early as freshman year and as late as senior year. And we take grad students too. But, you know, a typical student who joins around the beginning of their junior year. So they'll be with us for four semesters. So by the time that they graduate and they're on the job market, you know, they're have completed three research projects and they're currently working on a fourth. And they have all that experience and all that story to tell to their, you know, potential employer in the interview phase. And I think it, like I said, it's just a major differentiator. We've had students who have been offered better jobs than what they applied for because they had that experience, or like, you're more experienced than some of the people that we just, you know, hired and started here. And, you know, we've had students compete with, you know, other schools, like much larger schools, your Dukes and Harvards and University of Michigan's and some of those much, much bigger schools. We've had students compete with them and beat them out for jobs at larger companies like Unilever. And I think it's, you know, it's great to hear that and great to give the students that advantage on the job market too.
I mean, I feel like they're like any other job role or major should be taking a page out of this book, not just research, because I mean, you could ask anybody. I feel like you don't truly learn and develop in your own career until you're on the job. Right.
Right.
And you're just giving them such a head start by, you know, as you're talking about, like, oh, they want to change this, or they want to call them, or there's frustrations, like, that's real life work. That's not, you know, I'll tell you about my market research 101 class in my marketing major, where we ran a survey and then had to like run it through SPSS. That's literally what I don't even remember.
I read the chapter in this book and it said some stuff, you know, like that's I mean, employers don't want to hear that, you know, they don't want to hear that, hey, you've read some stuff in a book that I may have read 20 years ago that I've forgotten completely about because I've been actually doing the work. And you know, it's like I said, that's a differentiator, but you know, it's one of the things I think that's really kind of bottom down in our college, and or top down from our college rather. You know, our whole College of Business at Ohio University is really focused on experiential learning and really focused around centers. So it's not just us that are doing this. We're actually one of the newest centers. But we've had centers who've been doing this for a very long time, like the Shea Sales Center and the Center for Entrepreneurship and the Walter Center for Leadership, and Center for International Business and Educational Development, and our global consulting program. We've got all kinds of different things in our college who, you know, maybe different career paths for people, but it's all built around the same experiential lens. And, you know, I will say that there are guardrails for our students. I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but there are guardrails for our students so that they're not just thrown to the wolves. Like, we don't just say like, hey, student, and your research lead student, just go and do this research project and, you know, don't bug me as a professor. It's been, I would say our biggest challenge has been I don't want to say recruiting faculty, but it kind of is. Faculty is our biggest bottleneck because every project team. So I mentioned that earlier that there's a research lead and research associates on those teams who are the students, but every project has a faculty advisor. And we're trying to limit the number of projects that a faculty advisor advises on to one, at most two per semester, so that those four or five students can get the full attention of that faculty advisor throughout the course of a semester. And that is a hill that I'm willing to die on, because I think that that small group learning and that mentorship model is so critically important, because it's not just about, you know, the research and the skills and the how do you moderate a focus group? How do you conduct IDIs? How do you write a survey? It's not just about that. It's about, I want to say, protecting those students and helping those students learn from difficult situations so that they always have us. I like to categorize this like a safety net, you know, like in the research world, you're just kind of, you don't have that safety net. Here, you've got your faculty advisor to help guide you through the process and be there for you when things get difficult and, you know, help you navigate some tricky waters with clients and all kinds of different things. So, you know, that model, that small group model is what keeps us around 50 fellows at the moment, because we don't want to have our faculty be pulled too thin so that they, you know, don't have the time to dedicate to their team. Cause I think that that's important. And, you know, one of the things we've been talking about developmentally too, for our students as well, is that, we really want to focus not just on the consumer research side of things, but we want to focus on the holistic individual too. I know that kind of sounds buzzwordy, but I think what it means is that we want to focus on making that person and preparing that person to the best of their ability in everything that they need for once they graduate. So whether that's how to interview, whether that's, you know, negotiating contracts and benefits and things like that. How do you even look at those things? We're talking about doing some of those things as well, but the leadership roles, the communication roles, the graphic design elements of things, the how do you incorporate new tools? How do you find new tools to better enhance your research? So some of the things that we're using now, VoxPopMe, Canvas AI, Descript, which is a like textual video editor, which can create automatic transcripts, all of these different things that speed up the research process so you can do better research, right? It frees up that time from some of the monotonous stuff to help you do better research and tackle data in different ways. And, you know, I think that that's, I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed and grateful to all of the faculty in our center, because we're all on the same wavelength. We all just want to do what's best for our students. And, you know, it's been great to be able to work with a group of people now nine faculty strong, and many others who have come and gone over the past few years. It's been great to be able to work with a team that has that all in mind and has the students' best interest at heart.
Yeah, that's really cool. And really interesting to hear that this isn't the only center and that there's others that are doing the same sort of thing. And, you know, I know from my little bit of experience with you guys, it's not just marketing or market research students or analytics students that are in this center, right? It's open to anybody who's got an interest in consumer insights.
Yeah. So I'm going to steal Jessica Weeks, our associate director of academics. This is her saying, so I'm stealing it for this.
I love that.
But she says, you know, like we don't care about your knowledge level or what your major is or anything like that. We just care that you're interested and curious. And I had a student a while back tell me in one of the interviews, because I used to do all the interviews myself. Now Jessica kind of has taken on that task and that role, along with her team of students. I had a student tell me, I want to be a mind reader in an interview. And I said, what does that mean? She says, I'm just really interested in what makes people tick and what makes people buy the things that they do and why they feel the way they do about certain products and stuff like that. And I said, you are in the perfect place, because, you know, Jessica says, we don't care about where you came from and your skills. We just care about interest. Are you interested and curious? And if you have those two qualities, you know, we'll take you. So we get a lot of students. Obviously, a number of our students are from marketing and analytics backgrounds and majors. We get occasional students also from within the College of Business, from sports. We have a number of students. We have a fantastic sports administration program at Ohio University. And we get a number of students from that as well who want to go work at different sporting leagues. So we've actually placed one in all four of the, I would say, the major traditional sporting leagues. We've got a student in the NFL, one in the NBA, one in the NHL, and one in MLB right now, which is kind of cool. We have the occasional accountant and finance major who joins us, and it's really interesting when we get them, because we're kind of like, this seems like a strange fit, but we don't care. If you're curious about this stuff, you might want to also consider double majoring or swapping majors or something like that. But, you know, if they're interested, you know, we don't really care where would they come from within the College of Business. But beyond that, too, we've had students who are international studies majors. We've had students who are fashion merchandising. We've had students from the College of Journalism. They have an advertising program over there. So that's kind of a natural fit for us. But, you know, I'd say probably 20% or so of our students, maybe 15%, are outside of the College of Business. And, you know, maybe 30-40% are not marketing majors, which is really interesting because, mm-hmm. you know, I think like so many people, like you mentioned, I worked with a number of people who are like anthropology majors or mm-hmm. psychology majors or sociology majors, who fell into market research as a career path. And if we can help those students who may, you know, want to go down that path earlier on in their academic career before they graduate, then we think they'll be better prepared too. So, you know, we don't exclude anyone who wants to be a part of our center.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's so, it does speak to, you know, like people tend to fall into market research from all different backgrounds, and that curiosity is the common mm-hmm. thread. So it's cool to see, you know, see that play out in the education field as well.
Heck, we'll take an engineering major or a philosophy major or a theology major. I don't care. If you're curious about, you know, people and what makes them tick, then this is the center for you.
That's awesome. And then, I mean, this is a question probably your clients could answer and relate to just as much as you, but how do you stay up to date with industry changes to make sure that you're kind of giving your students the latest and greatest in terms of an experience?
Yeah. So over the last year and a half, we developed an advisory board for our center. We've technically only been a center for about, I believe, 4 years at this point, 3-4 years at this point. We were technically an initiative, even though we called ourselves a center before that. That's why the name change happened too. And you know, as part of kind of continuing to grow the center, we thought it was important to have an advisory board like many of our other centers and departments do. So obviously working with clients, you know, just that hands-on work keeps you very up to date. And we're always asking our clients for feedback and like, what can we do better? Are there things that our students need to know that you're doing differently, that we're not teaching them to do, you know, different things like that. So that just naturally happens over time. But we thought it was important to develop an advisory board of people that would be dedicated to helping us keep on top of what's going on in industry. So thankfully, now you are our most recent addition to that advisory board, but we have members of that advisory board from Modern American Insurance, Jim Whalen, who is was the former president of Parker Marketing Research or Parker Insights. So Jim joined us. We have our Culver's client, Liz Haffercorn. We have Matt Draper, who is an OU alum, not through our program, but was our client for Whirlpool and is now at, I believe, Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield. And then we have a few former fellows who have graduated. Kurt Kissinger, who is at Anthropology. They own Anthropology, since I said that word a little bit ago. Urban Outfitters. And Cole Decker, who is our client. He's one of our earliest graduates who works for 8451 and Kroger. And Taylor Bradshaw, who was the student I mentioned before about who got the job at Unilever. So they kind of know like what we do internally, but they also are getting exposed to what's going on in the real world. And then we have, you know, people who are a mixture of clients and other industry professionals. And we're looking to expand that advisory board. So if anyone listening to this is interested, feel free to reach out to me. But there, you know, we have meetings twice yearly to kind of go through all these different things that are developing in industry. And one of the things that we're pushing towards right now is how do we kind of combine both the analytics and consumer research, different practices. So things like data scraping and, you know, with traditional qualitative, and how do you create a report that kind of pushes the envelope and does more with, you know, a broader set of data, or how do you use netnographic data, you know, through maybe comments on a YouTube video or comments on Twitter or different places like that, comments on Reddit, to, you know, how do you integrate that in with traditional, you know, survey research or something like that. So different things that, you know, we're thinking about pushing the envelope on. And then from a technology standpoint, you know, they're part of that advisory board's role is also to kind of bring different technologies and stuff. Vox PopMe is obviously one. I mentioned Canvas AI. I'm very on top of the AI stuff because I teach the analytics capstone. So, I mean, I spent a good portion of the last year looking through 30, 40 different AI tools out there that have various different purposes, and kind of collated around a few of them to integrate within our center. So I mentioned Descript, which is an online video. It's a video editing platform, but it has, it creates automatic transcripts. And when you're video editing, it actually shows you the word that the person's saying. So if you wanted to clip out a video, all you had to do was highlight the text that they said. And so we're going to use that this year. We're testing different types of technologies. You know, I forget one of them is called. I can take a look here, but Runway ML does some different stuff with video editing, which is nice. Rotato, if you haven't used that one, is really great if you are trying to create mock-ups of different products and stuff like that. So, you know, if our students don't have the true Photoshop chops or something like that, they can still blind out, you know, things and use the AI to mask any branding on a product or something like that. So we're always, you know, looking for different things in that space to improve. Beyond that too, we also developed a number of leadership roles for our students. So we didn't have a lot of different leadership roles for our students beyond being a research lead. We kind of thought that was enough, and we would let them not have to deal with the administration side of the center. But over the last couple of years, we've been integrating the students more and more with the running of the center as well, which I think also fits in with that holistic development model. So we have a number of different coordinator positions that our students can volunteer, or they don't volunteer. They're actually paid a modest stipend for participating in these. But we have a team of students that runs our social media efforts. We have a team, and they work with me to work on branding and social media and that type of stuff. We have a team of students who are our student outreach coordinators. So they're the ones communicating and recruiting and interviewing students for our program. So they go to classes, they create internal branding, they go through the interview process and help us select the next generation of CRA fellows. And then we have client relations coordinators who work with Dr. Adam Hepworth, and he works with them to help recruit potential clients. So their job is to prospect and find potential clients, which market research sales, coming from a little bit of that background myself, is not an easy job to say the least, but it's an important part of the process. And the students who want that opportunity to learn and to work in that space too are given that opportunity. And then finally, we have our leadership council, a number of different positions there. So we have a co-chair model, chair of consumer research, and a chair of analytics. Their job's primarily kind of shared governance, making sure that students feel comfortable and welcome within the center. And if there's any problems, they're the sounding board in case someone doesn't want to come to me or something like that. And then we have two vice chairs as well, one of community engagement and one of student development or fellow development. And the fellow development student's whole job is to brainstorm and find new technologies for us to use and to come up with new development programs and figure out if there's things that we should change, do differently, look for new technologies for the future, all kinds of stuff like that. And then the community engagement leader, vice chair, is focused on bringing in and developing ways in which we can give back to our community here in Athens. And kind of more broadly as well, because one of the big pillars of what we do is, I mentioned we have about 10 projects per semester. So every semester we typically take on 1 to 2 pro bono projects that are with a nonprofit like the Alzheimer's Association or the Lupus Foundation or Hocking Hills Winery or Passion Works, or we work with, you know, smaller local companies like Hocking Hills Winery or Frog Ranch Salsa, Frog Ranch Foods, different companies, and do work for them to help them, you know, grow their business, you know, where they might not typically be using consumer research, but they could really need it. They really need it. So we provide them those opportunities too.
That's so awesome. And I mean, just on that note, like a huge shout out to all of the students who are getting involved, whether it's in the center, on the center, you know, lots of opportunities to get involved. And as you mentioned, like looking for more people to join advisory or to, you know, lend their technology or new clients. So anybody listening, get in touch with Jacob, get involved. It's an incredible program. And, you know, as I mentioned, like my just small experiences with the students, like they are really on top of it. They pick up on technology really quickly and they kind of take it and run with it. It's really cool to see. And I really appreciate you sharing all of the ins and outs and kind of behind the scenes of the center. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm always happy to talk about the center.
Absolutely. Thanks everybody for listening in today. We'll be back with another episode very soon. See you then.
Great.